chapter 22, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, we certainly understand that more than one way there's no chapter or no paragraph that carries more meaning than others. But Lord, certainly, much significance and emphasis has been placed upon the portion of Scripture that we've read this morning. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts, I pray that our minds, God, would be in tune with heaven. I pray that you would remove every hindrance. Lord, many things going on in hearts and lives today. But God, I pray that you would help us to focus in upon what you would have to say unto us through our pastor this morning. I pray that you would fill all of us with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to receive your word as it is in truth the word of God. And I pray that it would do the effectual work that you've promised. Lord, I pray that you would meet needs this morning. Save the soul that may be here nearest hell. I pray that you would help them to see that they need Jesus. And I pray that your people would receive strength, comfort, Lord, whatever the need may be. And we pray that, Lord, when it's all said and done, that we'll be careful to give you all the praise for what you do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Just suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one worthy to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad that he was willing to drink his bitter cup. Although he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels from my hands for the nails that torment me. Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, and had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. Then forever my soul would be lost.
I want to take this opportunity to thank Jesus for the wonderful work of redemption. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. Amen. A wonderful thing to be saved in the grace of God. It's nothing like it. Nothing like it. We were talking this morning just a little bit about faith. We're going to get into that chapter a little deeper as the weeks go by. This journey of faith is an adventure. It really is. If you're here today and you do not know what it is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that you would know Him today. Come to Him. Inquire about Him. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to trust Him. There's no greater life than the Christian life. I can truly say with Peter, when the disciples, many turned and walked with him no more, and Jesus looked at those 12 and he said, "Will you too turn and go away?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Sometimes when we think about eternal life, we think about life without end. But can I encourage you to go home and look at John 17:3, where Jesus said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." To know Him is life eternal. Do you know Him? I don't mean know about Him. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? There's nothing like a relationship with the God of heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God for eternal redemption. I pray you know Him. So many people have religion. Religion. They sit in our churches week in and week out, and all they have is a religion. Religion's no good. Listen to me. Religion nailed the Jesus it was sang about in that song, and it is the focal point of the Word of God. Religion nailed him to the cross. Religion. So don't get confused now by cheap substitutes. Religion is always calling upon its participants to do and do and do. A relationship declares it has been done. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I pray that you know Jesus this morning, and if you do know him, I pray you're in fellowship with him. And you will worship him today in a way that he desires to be worshiped, in a way that he deserves to be worshiped, and that is in spirit and in truth. Come before the Lord today. Dismiss from your mind and your heart the cares of this world, and give the glory that is due his name unto him. There are so many things in our ears today, aren't they, folks? Aren't they? So many things biting for our attention. So many things trying to arrest our thoughts and our attentions and to pull us away from what really matters in life. There's voices screaming on every hand. Social media, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to computers and televisions and movies and DVDs and CDs and billboards and people on the street corner and under tents and in businesses, everybody screaming and calling, listen to me, hear what I have to say. Jesus quietly says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Jesus is the answer. He truly is. I want to talk to you this morning. Jesus is the answer to every situation we face in life. Today, as I mentioned, we have these five families that have said we want to dedicate ourselves and our child to the Lord. I look across this congregation and I see those of you who have small children, many, many people that are here today, you have small children under your watch care. And I want to speak to you today, whether you have come today to officially, through a ceremonial showing to dedicate your child or not, I want you to listen very carefully. Children, Psalm 127, verse 3, are an heritage of the Lord. They're the gift of God. There are three prominent scriptures where parents dedicate their child to the Lord. Now, that's not the only scriptures, but there's three prominent. One of them was read in your hearing this morning. For the other two, we'll turn and look at here in just a moment. They're very prominent. You probably are thinking of them right now in your mind. They stand out. One is a New Testament and one is an Old Testament account where parents brought their children and presented them or that child to the Lord in dedication. In many ways, it's giving your child back to the Lord. And I know some of you, as you hear that, you are probably thinking, I didn't know I could give my child back to the Lord. I thought that they came with a no return policy. Well, I'm not speaking of that way. I'm not speaking of that. I'm talking about when God gifts you, when God blesses your home with the child, you understand some things, and I'm going to talk with you about some things that every parent ought to understand about a child. Now, I'm not talking about a village. So don't. We're not going to get confused. I'm going to make very clear what I'm speaking about. It doesn't take a village. Listen, I've seen the village. I don't want the village training my children. Right. I've seen the village. Right. Hillary, I've seen the village. I don't want the village raising my children. Amen. 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 I want the Word of God to be the principle of all that we have, of all that we do in training up our children. Now, I'm thankful for help. I'm thankful for organizations, the church. I'm thankful for Sunday school. I'm thankful, as we heard this morning, Vacation Bible School, Sunday school. I'm thankful for good ministry, a pastor that through the training of my children and your children, they can come alongside of us. But let me remind you now, it's not the state's place to train the children. It's not. It's not the school's place. Hear me now. It's not. God gave that child, God gives those children to you. You train them up in the way they should go. Find out what God's purpose is for that little life, and then bend them toward that way and train them to go that way, and God will honor that, and they can find and be fulfilled in the purpose that God has for them in life. You see, I believe the Bible teaches that every individual that is born into this life is born with a God-given plan attached to them, a God-given purpose in them. And as parents, we are to train them up into knowing that purpose so they can fulfill God's purpose in life. It's so important. So important. Our world has gone amok. Our world has gone crazy because parents have not taken this responsibility that is a God-given responsibility to train up their children. Now, many of you have. And there are many yet that have other than what's here. And I'm thankful for those who understand the responsibility of a child or children. It's a God-given, it's a God-ordained responsibility. It's serious business. It's serious, brethren. When I think about those accounts in the Scripture, I think about the greatest presentation that was ever given. And I want you to turn there just for a moment in Luke chapter number 2. There was a virgin by the name of Mary. In Luke chapter number 2, we find where this virgin had given birth to a child as she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And this virgin and her espoused husband, her husband Joseph, brought this child to the temple in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 22. And the Bible says that they made a presentation of this child unto the Lord. That's what's going to be happening here today. And I pray that whether you contacted me or whether you didn't, whether you plan for your child or children to be a part of any ceremony, that you will take the responsibility as a parent and say, I'm going to raise up my children now. By the grace of God, I'm going to raise up my children to serve God and to fear Him all the days of their life. I'm going to instill in them principle and integrity. Bible principle, Bible integrity, Bible truth. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can do it. God will give you the resources. God has given you the resources to do it. Amen. There are parents who are sitting here who can stand and testify to the fact that God will give you the resources. God will enable you to train your child, train your children in the way they should go. God has provided the resources. Will you encourage, will you in faith rely on God to train up that child? You see, there are no perfect parents. I said there are no perfect parents. Amen. And all the children are saying, amen, amen. But now let me tell you something. There's a flip side of that. Nor are there any perfect children. Now I know you think yours are, but they're not. They're not. So there's no perfect. All right? We lean hard on the grace of God. Say amen with me. We lean hard on the grace of God. We need God's help in this, brother. If we ever need it, listen, God has called upon us to lay many things on the altar in our lives. Many things, but none greater than our children. None greater. You'll never get a greater investment of laying anything on the altar than laying your child or your children on the altar of God. You see, when you give God something, He gives it back in a way that you could never imagine. You ever given God anything? Have you? You see, you give God an old crab apple. You know what a crab apple is, don't you? And God will give you back one of them big old juicy red delicious. That's right. You give God a Saul of Tarsus that is murdering Christians, and God will give you back a preacher of righteousness that is on fire on a mission, listen, on a mission journey. And starting churches and planting churches in that whole province. You give God a Jacob, and God will give you back an Israel. Are you listening now? You give God an old sinner that is marred by sin, and God will give you back a saint saved in the grace of God. You give God an old drunk, And God will give you somebody that is sober and clean and ready to serve Jesus with his life. You give God a harlot and a prostitute, and God will give you back someone that is pure as the driven snow. See, God can give you more back than what you ever dreamt when you give something to him. What have you given to Jesus? And God has said, give me your children. We're going to see that when God went to Abraham. He said, give me your children. I'll never give my children to God. You don't trust him? You don't trust him? This is the first situation. Look here in verse number 22, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 22. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse number 22. The Bible says, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. See, I believe every child ought to be presented to the Lord. God gives us the child. God gives us the child, and God says, present this child back unto him. Notice, if you would, if we go back to 1 Samuel, this is probably one of the more familiar in the Old Testament, where there was Hannah. And you know the story. Hannah was without a child. Her womb was barren, and she prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she said, God, give me a male child. God, give me a male child. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel in chapter number 1 that God did just that. God honored the faith and the prayer of Hannah. I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, God honors prayer and faith. God honors it. God's not through honoring his word. God's not through honoring his people. God's not through honoring prayer and faith. God's looking to honor it. Here, as this woman prayed in chapter number 1, verse number 19, the last part of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 19, the Bible says, the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. Then it says in verse number 20, the latter part of that, she said, because I have asked him of the Lord. She said, I'm going to call his name Samuel. And God remembered Hannah, and God blessed her with a child. And she said, I'm going to call him named Samuel because he came from God. God gave him to me. Because I have asked him of the Lord. You know what she did? Look at verse number 22 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Hannah lent her child. She gave her child back unto the Lord. I wonder if you've done that with your child or your children. You know, first of all, it starts in your heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It starts in the parents' heart. There's got to be a mindset. There has to be an understanding of that child. Turn back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. Pastor Brandon read in your hearing this very familiar, and this is the third of those three accounts that I said are probably the most familiar in all the Bible, where a parent or parents were yielding or presenting or giving their children back unto the Lord. When you look at this passage of Scripture, there's several things. Of course, there's the historical account. And when you read this, when you read it this way, this really happened. Okay, I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around it, isn't it? That this really happened. God went to Abraham and he said, I want you to offer up thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, in a place where I will show thee. And Abraham didn't hesitate. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Why? Why do people hesitate to offer their children unto the Lord? Why? Abraham didn't hesitate. He didn't. The Bible says, if you'll notice, in verse number 3 of Genesis 22, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and got to doing what God asked him to do. Isn't that something? There's a reason Abraham could do that. And I pray, and it's my prayer, that every parent in this building would get to that place in their life and understand the greatest place your child can be is on God's altar. Have you placed him there? Have you placed her there? Have you? I want to read you some things that I have deduced from this scripture, and I want you to listen very carefully. Before I get into this, I want to reemphasize, and I want you to understand, there are no perfect parents, okay? We need God's grace when it comes to training up and raising our children. Everybody understands that, okay? Everyone understands that. We need the grace of God. There's no guarantees in life, brethren. There's no guarantees in life. So I want you to understand, you need God's grace when it comes to being a parent, when it comes to rearing up your children. You need to lean hard upon the teachings of the Word of God and the good grace of God. May God give you favor as you raise up those little ones for the Lord. I have four children. Sharon and I have raised. We just married off our final one yesterday. You say, "Preacher, are you sad? Do I look sad?" I love my children. I love them. But you know, God only lends them to you for a little while. God only lends them to you for a little while. And that's something you have to understand, parents. There's parents in here, you have children, and they've already left the nest. They've left home, right? Doesn't take long, does it, brother? Doesn't take long. Does it, sister? Just seems like just a couple of short years ago. But it comes to that time. You need God's grace. You need to be on your knees, and you need to trust God, and you need to instill some biblical principles in your children's life. You say, "Well, I'm going to do it one day, preacher." Oh, you need to get started today if you're not doing it now. You need to get started today. Before you know it, their life is going to be, listen, it's going to pass, and they're going to be moving out now. Listen to me. They're going to be going on their journey. They're going to be taking off. And so you hear me now. God's going to give them to you for a little while. And while you have them, you need to instill some things, and you need to show them some things, and you need to give them to God and teach them you belong to the Lord. Let me give you some things, all right? Number one of the greatest things you'll ever do is recognize your children are a precious gift from the Lord, and that they belong ultimately and always to God first and not to you. See, that's a problem people have. It's a problem we have as parents. We think, well, you know, I've got to do it. I have to do this. I have to do that. Now, I understand parental responsibility, but the greatest responsibility that you'll ever undertake is recognizing that ultimately that child belongs to the Lord. God gave you that gift. And God has entrusted you with that precious commodity. And God wants you to train up that child. And God wants you to instill some things in that child from His Word. Now, Abraham understood that. In this account of the Scripture that we have here that historically happened, yes, there are many typical aspects in this account of the Scripture in Genesis 22. But historically, this took place. And here's a man who yielded his son back to God. He gave him up back to God. He knew God was going to do the right thing with him. He knew. He knew that this child belong to the Lord. He recognized that. Can I ask you a question? I want you to listen now. Listen carefully. Do you really understand that? There are so many people say, "Oh yeah, I get that. I understand." Well then, you know, with that understanding comes some responsibility. If that child belongs to the Lord, then you need to be getting from God the purpose of that child so you can help train that child in that purpose. You don't just say, "Well, I recognize this," and then block out the church, block out the Word, block out God, and let that child grow up in a way without God. No, if you recognize that that child belongs to the Lord, you're going to take some steps in getting that child in contact with the Lord in whom lent him or her to you. Amen? Important. Recognize it. Number two, not only recognize that that child or those children are a precious gift and belong to God and not to you, but release the ownership of your children to God, understanding that God is responsible for the way in which they are designed and already knows the plan and the purpose for their future. You know, so often parents try to plan out their children's lives. And I've been guilty. I think all of us are guilty to some extent. We try to many times, I've seen parents and there's a little of this, I think, in all of us, we'll try to live out our lives through our children. You're making a mistake. Listen to me now. That child is an individual. And God made that child different. And God has a purpose for that child. I want to ask you this morning to release that unto the Lord and say, God, I want this child to be who you want it to be and not who I want it to be. See, we have these goals and these dreams, and we say, well, I want my child to be this, and I want my child to be that. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it, and our children will miss it, and their life will not reach their fullest potential because we got in the way. The very one that God gave to help them find their way, if we're not careful, will get in the way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Listen, as a parent, we have to really guard against that. And the only way to guard against it is to stay humble and stay before the Lord and understand who these children really belong to. They do not belong to the state. They do not belong, as I've already said, to the village. They don't belong to a system. They belong to God, but He's lent them to us for a season. And we must take that responsibility very seriously. And so I said, number one, we're to recognize that our children are a precious gift. We're to release ownership and not try to force on our children something that we want instead of what God wants. You say, well, how am I going to do that, preacher? How am I going to do that? Pray. Pray. You know, sometimes we talk about prayer so much, we don't practice it. It's easy to say, well, I'm praying for my children. Are you? Well, I'm praying for you. You know, I think social media, and don't get angry at me now. I'm just trying to help us to understand how the devil can throw us a curveball. We'll get on social media, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Praying, praying, praying. How much praying's really going on? I don't know people's hearts. But if we're not careful, it's going to be, praying's just going to be a word and not an action. And we have to understand that just saying we're praying is not praying. Just knowing that we should pray for our children is not going to get prayer through to God, that He would get involved in the lives of our children and enable us to be the parent we ought to be in guiding our children. So we have to realize, we have to recognize some things. And then thirdly, we realize that God has given them to us to train them up. Children come with a specific set of instructions. I'll never forget, several years ago when I was working at D&D Lawn Care, there was a good guy who worked there, and he and I got along really well. He was not a believer. And I witnessed to him, and he would listen, and he would hear the witness, though he never, at that time, now maybe he has since I've left, that's been 6-7 years ago, he did not trust Christ as his Savior. He would ask me many questions about life and things pertaining to life. And when him and his wife had a baby, I'll never forget, as we were getting ready to head out one day, he said, it's kind of scary having this baby. And he said, I just wish they came with instructions, Dale. And I said, Ben, they do. And he looked at me really strange. And he said, what? And I said, they do, Ben. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God gives us instruction how to train up our children and how to guide and how to parent them and how to help them to know God and to find God's will. Did you know that it is said of Timothy's mother and grandmother that of a child he learned the Scriptures? What a wonderful testimony. He learned about God and the way to know God and the way to interact with God and the way to have a relationship with God. From who? The church? No. Mom, grandmother. The people that God ordained should be the one to teach that child to know those things. So as we have this account, let me give you four things, all right, that I find in this account. Here's a man who God said, I want you to take your son and I want you to lay him on the altar. You know, that son that God gave you, that daughter that God gave you, I want you to lay him on the altar. I I want you to give him to me, and I'll do far more with him, far more with her, than you could have ever thought. But now you got to trust me. Do you trust God with your children? Do you? There used to be a little post. I don't know what you call these things. I'm not a social media person. I get on there from time to time. There it goes. I get on there from time to time. But I don't know a whole lot about... All right. I will tell you this. I just found out what the problem was.
Amen.
It's amazing how God reveals things to you. There used to be a little, I think you call them memes. And it has this Oriental fella, and he's squinching up his eyes, and he's got a little piece of paper about this big, and it's got list of people that I trust to watch my children. Right? A lot of parents feel that way. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. You be careful who you entrust your children to. Amen. You be careful. But my question this morning to you as a parent, do you trust your child? Do you trust your children to God? Do you really trust them to God? Have you given that child to the Lord? Do you trust what God has for that child? Or are you so hands-on, I've got to do it. I can do this. Now, God will let you do it. But that child will never be what it could and should be if you would have let God do it. Now, here's a man, Abram. And Abraham, notice in chapter 22, notice this. The Bible says it came to pass after these things. I want to say this, after these things. What things? Well, you ought to go back and start reading some. Don't do it now. But in chapter number 11, you can see where God told Abraham to get up and get his wife and for them to go out and go to a city which he would show them. And God began to teach Abraham many things about trusting him and living for him and walking with him. And now God, who has called upon Abraham to lay many things down for him and to lay many things on the altar for him, says, now, here's the ultimate test. You trust me with your child? He said, take your child, bring him to me. I'm going to offer him up today for an offering of burnt offering, burnt sacrifice. You say, well, preacher, that didn't take a fool to do that. You trust God? Do you trust God? God's not into human sacrifice. Don't misunderstand what's happening here. The gods of the world are in human sacrifice, but not the God of the universe. He's not into human sacrifice. The only human that the God of the universe ever sacrificed was his own son, Jesus Christ. Okay, understand that. But what's happening here? God is saying, do you trust me, Abraham? Do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you think I'm going to do right by your child? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Do you think God's going to do right by your child? Have you given that child? There's a reason you haven't. If you have not given your child, if you have not entrusted your child or your children to Christ, there's a reason why. You need to ask yourself, what is that reason? If you are a Christian, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, if you profess salvation, and you have a child or children, and you have not given them to God, you need to begin to ask yourself, why? Why haven't I done that? There's something unnatural about that as a Christian. As a Christian, why haven't I trusted God with my child or my children? Is it because I don't trust Him with my child? I don't know, but you need to ask yourself that question. This man did. In so much that, watch this now. Did you follow along when Pastor Brandon was reading? This man took his child and he took the wood and he took what the sacrifice, everything was going to be needed for the sacrifice, and he went up on the mount and he bound his son to the altar and would have run him through. That's how much he trusted him. You say, oh, well, now, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, just for a moment, turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible does say that. In Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible definitely says that. It says in Hebrews 11 in verse number, and I'll give you an opportunity to find it if you'll get there soon. In Hebrews 11, in verse number 17, it says that this man trusted God so much with his son that he would have run him through. But he would have known that God would have raised him up. Now I want you to think about this with me just for a moment. To my knowledge, to this point in time in the history of man, there never been a resurrection. Never. And yet here's a man who said, my God will do it for my child. Because God made me a promise about this boy. And God's going to keep his promise. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 17, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, was going to offer up Isaac, but offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He did it. In his mind, in his heart, it was done. Of course, there was an angel from heaven who said, Abraham, Abraham! Aren't you glad Abraham was in tune with God? This says the word, as we go back to Genesis 22, it says the word about parents. It pays to be in tune with God. God will tell you something about your child at some point in your life that you'll either be glad you were in tune or you'll wish to God you would have been in tune when God tells you something about that child. Stay in tune now. It's important to be in tune because God's going to tell you things about that child that you'll need to know in order to have that child to reach his potential for him. All right, so number one, there's a confirmation. There's a confirmation. Do you trust God? Number two, there's clarification of ownership. It's very clear in Genesis 22 what God is telling Abraham. Abraham, that's not your son. I lent him to you. I have a purpose for his life. Through him is going to come a nation. He's the miracle child. You know about Isaac, right? You know about Isaac. And God said, I've got big things planned for that boy. But now you're going to have to give him to me, Abraham. You're going to have to trust him with me. Can I tell you, God has big things planned for your child. He does. There was a day when people took it serious to give their children to God. Now everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes. We got folks, listen, I told a young man not long ago, I said, listen, don't get angry at me. I'm just trying to help you. We have got our priorities so out of whack. Can I tell you, I could care less if when my children were growing up, if they hit a home run. I want them to serve Jesus. Amen. Now, where are you on that? Where are you on that? Say, well, I want my child to do, I want them to be that, I want them to be that. I want my child to be first and foremost a servant of God. What about you, Christian? You say, well, does that mean they can't play ball? I didn't say that. Don't put words and take them out of my mouth. I'm just saying, where's the priority anymore? Where's the priority? Where's it at? We've lost sight of what God's plans for these little ones are. We're losing ground, brethren. We're losing ground. Because we've lost sight and we've yoked up and we're doing everything that the world does and we've joined in with them and we've forgotten that God gave us those little babies first and foremost of all to train them to be children of God and servants of God. Amen. Now regardless of what they do, in addition to that, first and foremost, that ought to be the foundation of every parent's goal for their child. Be a servant of God. You training your children to be servants of the Lord? I pray that you are. So, there's a confirmation. Do you trust Him? There's a clarification of ownership. God, this child belongs to you now, not me. And then finally, there's a commitment to raise your child. Have you made that commitment? To raise your child for the Lord. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean this. Listen, I wrote this down. Number one, be a godly parent. You want your children to be godly? You be godly. So, well, I'll just tell them what to do. No, you show them what to do. Amen. There's a difference between teaching and training. Train up your children. Show them God in your life. At least once in their life, your child ought to see you on your knees praying to God. Amen. They ought to see you with your Bible cracked open. They ought to see you with tears running down your face. As you're in communion with the God of heaven, they ought to see you with a burden on your heart. They ought to know that church and serving God is a priority in your life as a parent. Where's that going? What's happening? What's happening? We're losing sight of it. And we're seeing the results of it. My heart is saddened. I think it was yesterday morning. It may have been Friday morning. I lose track of time. Somebody help me out. The latest school shooting, another one. I think 10 dead. Was it Friday? And of course, we know the rhetoric. We know the agenda. We know what's going to happen. All right? And I'm very clear on what side I come on this, okay? You want a gun? You have the constitutional right to own a gun. Okay, you say, I don't like that. Well, I didn't ask you that. Listen, I'm just telling you, that's what our Constitution gives us, the right to bear arms. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what's happening, brethren. We're losing our children because we're not employing this. We're not following God's way. We're just having babies and we're letting them go out and do whatever they want to do. And it's not gun control we need. We need some children control. Listen to me. Our world is in a mess. Why? Because parents have quit taking the responsibility. I don't mean you. Listen, I don't know your heart. I don't live in your home. But I'm telling you, on this Child Dedication Sunday, when we're thinking about dedicating our children to God, we need some parents that'll step up and say, I am going to be, by the grace of God, I'm going to be a godly parent. Amen. I'm going to train my children to serve Jesus with their life. Amen. I am going to serve Jesus with my life. Be a godly parent. Number two, foster a Christ-like environment in your home. Sometimes we just need to shut all that filth and garbage out. Say amen with me now. I said we. It's just not good for those little minds. It's just not good for those children, brethren. Number three, keep your family in church. Say, well, we'll go if there's nothing else to do. You're messing up now. Hear me. You're messing up. Well, we got a busy schedule. We can't make it. You know, we got to be at the ball field at this time. We got to run this marathon, or we got to be over here and do this. And listen, if church is a convenience to you, you're messing up. You're messing up. The Bible says that we ought to honor God's house. The Bible says we ought to be faithful to God's house. So, well, I just don't know if I can come to this church every service. Find you a good church you can go to every service. Amen. It's important. It's important for you. It's important for your children. Love and pray with your children. I believe every day you ought to tell your children you love them. You ought to pray with and for your children on a regular basis. And then finally, and this is going to sound silly, and there was a day when I'd have never had to say this. Get married and then have babies. And if you are married, stay married. Amen. Stay married. Now, if you're here and you have a child out of wedlock, I'm not beating you up. If you're here and you're living with someone outside of marriage, I'm not beating you up. I'm only telling you that God says that's sin. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you what God said. That's sin. That does not mean that God does not love you. If you're here and you have a child out of wedlock, that does not mean that God does not love you. But I'm not going to change the truth to cater to a group of people. You understand that, right? You understand that. You can make it right, you see. You can make that right. But you've got to take some steps. We've got to get back to doing what God said instead of what we want. Where does it end, brethren? Where does it end? To where we say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to do this instead of what God said. Where does that end? Where do we draw the line? Well, I'm not going to do that, preacher. Well, I want you to listen. I want you to mark this date down. Okay? May the 20th, 2018. I've told you from the Bible, what I've told you this morning is God's way. It is. Now, I didn't expositionally and give you a, listen, I didn't go down and give you a lesson, but I told you biblical truths about what God expects out of parents. God expects you to train up those little children. Train them up. Get them up on Sunday morning and bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Get them involved in the children's clubs. That's important. You get involved in church. That's important. Serve God with your life. That's important. You say, oh, well, preacher, you know, I know plenty of people who went to church and didn't turn out right. Well, I do too. But I know plenty more that did. I know plenty more that did. I'm not in charge of any of that. I'm just telling you that right here's the truth. The Bible. Train up your children. Train them up. Let's all stand up. We'll stand to our feet. We'll bow our heads together. I'm going to ask those families. You know what? If you're here this morning and you say, you know, preacher, I didn't contact you about dedicating my child. Families, if you have your infant here today and you would like for, I'm going to ask Dr. Thompson. Brother Russell, would you and Brother Corey, would y'all help Dr. Thompson to the platform? If you want to bring your infant child, your child up before the church, we're going to have Dr. Thompson say a word of prayer. Asking God to give you wisdom. Asking God to give you courage, grace, to train up that child or those children. Would you go get your children and step forward at this time?